You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
We've been going through reflections, and part of Hosea, we looked at the whole story of Hosea. It's a very interesting story in Hosea. It's a very challenging story in Hosea. And actually, as we look more and more at the world around us, if you get sucked into the media and all that it's saying, part of Hosea, to me, just seems to be screaming out to us, a God that says, I love you and I want to buy you back, but you're not interested in me. You're doing all this other stuff and you're not interested. And as we've gone through the book of Hosea, one of the things I've looked at is reflections and giving us a chance each week to reflect, because if you only hear words and then it doesn't penetrate, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't change us, what was the point of coming? So I think it's really important that we get a chance to reflect, and we will do that again this week. But last week, we were looking at the reflection which was called Hurting God, which was following on from forgetting God. If we forget someone, we can end up hurting them. And we asked the question, how do we actually know if we've hurt God? And if you can remember back to last week, we were saying that hurting each other hurts God. When we hurt each other, we are made in the image of God. And there's an enemy that wants to destroy the image of God. It's something you felt God was very much saying to you, wasn't it? Why are we always under attack? Because the enemy wants to destroy anything that's made in the image of God. Well, we're very good at hurting the image of God as well. And we can hurt each other. And when we hurt each other, we've done the enemy's work for him. Thinking about the mountain lion, where does it find its prey? Well, it looks for the weak and the sick and the whatever else. Those are the ones that he's going to pick off first. Those that are strong and running well, not up for the chase. Not on a hot day like today, certainly. And if we hurt each other and if we wound each other, we're doing the enemy's job for him. And we need to be building one another up. And we challenged each other and we just reflected last week and said, well, where have I done that? Is there anywhere I need to go back and say sorry? Just to throw it out there, did anybody do anything this last week that they'd like to share? Did anybody go home and make that phone call? It's got to challenge us, isn't it? Because this is the word of God. And if we heard it and we thought it and we didn't do it, we're still hurting God, aren't we? I want this to be really real for us this morning, because we're going to come around the communion table later on. And that says we've got to examine ourselves. And the question is, if we're going to do this, and this is what God's word says, we've got to do it. And it's not to tell anybody off this morning, because boy, who's ever picked up that phone and made that phone call and it wasn't 10 times as bad as you thought it was going to be? In fact, it was amazing. And when you got to the end of it, you said, I can't believe it's a relationship restored. That is actually the power of God at work. And that, for me, is incredibly exciting. God doesn't want us to hurt one another. As we said in this study this week, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. It's a challenge, isn't it? And we also said last week, part of the hurting God was our public witness. What is our public witness actually like? If God is Lord of our lives, are we seen more about caring about upsetting God or upsetting people? We thought about Joseph, didn't we? Potiphar's wife. Apparently he was a good-looking lad. It says it in the Bible. It's recorded there. When we get to heaven, he'll be the good-looking one. Potiphar's wife was after him. But he didn't say, what can I get away with? What's the society doing now? What's the kind of norm? You know, well, they've opened up another club in town. Let's go off down there. That's what everybody's doing now. He said, no. He said, I'm not going to do that. It's going to hurt God. And if that hurts God, there's just no way that I can do that. And this week, I just want us to go on one step further. They are actually following. It's almost as if there's a plan behind some of this morning. This week's reflection is called Cause, Effect, and Redemption. cause, effect, and redemption. And I don't want to detour too far from Hosea this morning, because it is where we started out. So let's go back to the outline of Hosea again. Let's just remember what happened. They're God's chosen people. They're not just anybody. They're God's chosen people. Particularly the ones that we're looking at in the Hosea line is on the northern kingdom. The 10 tribes that have been branched off, they've forgotten about God, and they've hurt God by going off and fulfilling their desires. Whatever pleases them, whatever goes, that is what they are after. Essentially, they've swapped God for other lovers. It puts it in that context because I think love is so important to us. And when that love gets hurt or broken, it leaves a real mark inside us. It really hurts. We really understand it if love is broken. And God uses that marriage between Hosea and his wife Gomer to reflect that painful truth about where Israel or what Israel is doing. And there are consequences, and there are very, very public consequences as well. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to look back in Hosea 2. This is what it says from verse 2. Hosea 2, first couple of verses, 2 through to 5. Hosea 2, 2 to 5. It says this. It says, "Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children because they are the children of adultery. The mother has been unfaithful and conceived them in disgrace." Very clearly, Gomer, Hosea's wife, has disgraced herself. Very publicly. It's not like this has gone on behind closed doors. This is a very public thing. There are shameful and naked consequences as a result of her actions. And part of what I'm saying with the reflection this morning, there's a cause and there's an effect to this story. Now, we live in a Disney kind of world, don't we, where they all lived happily ever after. Well, actually, in this situation, ultimately, we're going to live happily ever after. But in the short term, there are consequences. And sometimes there's consequences to the things we've done, and they will bring about an end. That's just the way it's going to be. It is everlasting in this lifetime. We cannot undo it. It has happened. And this is what Israel has done. If you flicked on a few pages into Hosea 8 and verse 3, it literally says, "But Israel has rejected what is good." Hosea 8, 3. "Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him." Kind of goes back to the mountain lion kind of picture again, doesn't it? You've done something wrong. They're broken. They're damaged. And an enemy will pursue him. Pursue them. I'm going to show you a quick video. I don't know if you get caught by these things on YouTube every now and again, but we'll have a quick look at this and tell me what you think. A link to this video can be found on our website in the text below. My heart's broken for the guy. He didn't just land on his head, he also hit his head on the ground as well. He was holding his head on both sides. It's really sad. Cause and effect. I did actually see a skateboard video of a guy trying to jump off this particular bunch of steps to get down. I can't remember how many hospital visits he ended up doing. I can't remember how many bones he broke. He'd filmed every single one over about a year trying to nail this particular flick and jump and land back on the skateboard again. Eventually, he did it. But he kept on and on and on with this. And sometimes we can keep doing this cause and effect kind of mentality. And sometimes we just need to stop. My father was working on my car once, and he was up underneath the car, and he'd taken the socket off. And it wasn't one of these socket wrenches that holds the bit on the end. He pulled it, and the handle had come off, and it was sat underneath the car. And he's lying under there looking up at this thing, and he says, "Well, how am I going to get rid of that? I can't get my hand up there." And as he's just about finished that set, it fell and it hit him on the forehead. And because he was lying on the ground, he went, boom, and hit his head on the ground. And I watched him. He sat up and hit his head on the car. And he went, boom, boom. And he went, "I've got to stop doing this. And I was in absolute fits thinking, he's going to knock himself out in a minute. What's he doing? Couldn't believe it. Cause and effect. Some of the causes and effects I'm going to speak about now will end up with a painful effect. We have a cause. As you've seen from the video, it normally goes on to an event. Something happens and it leaves us with a painful effect. Now, this is sometimes how we live our lives. There's a cause, and that goes on to an event. Now, you might think of an event this morning where something's happened and it's gone on to create an event, and that event has left you with a painful experience. It's had a painful effect on your life. And the chances are, if it did, you tried to get rid of that painful effect. You hoped nobody saw what went on. Obviously, with YouTube and the mobile phones and everything else, you can't seem to do anything nowadays without somebody filming it and trying to get... What was the other one where you get £100? Jeremy Beadle. What was that one? You've Been Framed. Who watched You've Been Framed? Yeah, we all watch them. Cause event creates a painful effect. We try and get rid of the painful effect. Boom, it's gone. I want to get rid of that. The trouble is, it doesn't disappear. The painful effect comes back, and it actually goes back round, and it creates part of the cause. That creates an event that creates a painful effect. The painful effect goes round, re-affects the cause, and another painful event happens. And it keeps going round, and what we end up with is a lot of these things is we keep going round and round and round in these circles, thinking, why can't I fix this particular scenario? It keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and I can't seem to get out of this never-ending cycle, this cause and effect. And as I was doing a little bit of research on this and just looking around, one of the questions that was asked was, well, why would God allow us to work in such a way that this cause and effect thing keeps happening and going around and the situation gets worse and worse and worse until eventually it seems to completely blow up? Why would God let that happen? What's the point? What do you think? We forget God, but maybe more than that. Yeah, we keep hurting each other. That's the event. So what's the problem in here? He gives us free will. We're not reaching out to him. We need to recognize something. What do we need to recognize in those three things that you can see on the screen? Still an event. It's a pattern of behavior, which has probably got an effect, which goes back to... It's actually a saying that we have. We need to go back to the root. We need to go back to the root cause. And actually, I think sometimes things that happen in our lives and it keeps going round and round and round again is because we haven't got back to the root cause. We keep looking at the events. We keep looking at the effects. We live with the effects. We live with the events. But we tend to ignore what is the root cause. And actually, part of what we've been looking at this week when we've been doing the Life Explored series out the back, it was actually challenging us. And they had a bit out of Genesis 3 in there. And as we were looking at Genesis 3 and talking about the root cause, what happened right back at the beginning, not just what's affected your week in the, or your day to this morning even, or even this last week, or even when you were a child, but let's go right back to the root cause in Genesis 3. What the root cause is we have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. When we really start boiling all of this down, we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And it brings about some serious consequences in our lives. As individuals listening to the story in Genesis 3, some of those this week had quite a strong reaction out the back and went, this is just utter rubbish, in not so many words. And said, I can't really believe that there was a God that would allow this to happen. Why didn't he just fix it right at the beginning? Adam and Eve, so disobedient. Why didn't God just fix it there and then? But actually, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And every one of us in the room has done that. Every one of us has done that, exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And if we're that sort of person that blames God and says, well, why didn't he fix it in the first place? Again, we've still adopted the same mindset. We've accepted that lie about God. We can blame Adam and Eve, and yet we acknowledge that we too have fallen short. And what the book said, which was quite nice, we've fallen short of our own standards, let alone God's standards. How many people agree with that? I've fallen short of my own standards, let alone God's standards. We're probably just like Adam and Eve at the end of the day. And therefore, we have all got that free will. We've got that choice to accept God for who he is, for who he says he is, or we accept a lie about him. Cause and effect should eventually lead us to the point where we recognize there's a root cause that needs fixing. And for a lot of us here that have become Christians over many years, we've recognized that. We got to that place where we went, I recognize out of all of the rubbish, all the stuff that's going on, I've got a broken relationship with God, and that is the bit that needs fixing. It literally goes right back to Genesis 3, the cause and effect in our lives. Have we accepted God for who he is? For who he is. And I know for some of us here this morning, we're caught in these loops at the moment where it's just going round and round and round again. Patterns in your life, rhythms, behaviors, weekly, daily. They might be annually. You might say every time this year this happens. You think it's going to be okay this time. I've got over this, and then it goes wrong again. And actually, what I want to do with that reflection this morning, just give you a moment for this, because I think it's important that we take this time. God, is there a cause and effect going on in my life that at the moment I'm living in the events keep coming round, there is an effect, it's painful, and I don't know what the cause is, and I want you to tell me. And that's what I want you to do for a moment. So if you'd like to close your eyes or however you like to do that and just ask God and say, God, look, I want you to shine a light on something in my life that you want to heal, that you want to fix, that's going to set me free. If you're an anxious person or a worrier, Lord, what causes that? Lord, what causes that in my life? And what can we do about it? So take a moment in silence. Lord, what is the root cause? Part of the prayer ministry course this week was talking about wounds. Have you got those wounds in your life which are stopping you from moving forwards? The reality is some of those things that have been done to us or we've done to others might not be able to be undone. It might have repercussions beyond our control. Adam and Eve couldn't just say sorry, could they? They could no longer walk in the garden. They realized what had happened. They faced up to it. But there are consequences. I think it was the Christianity Explore part of this week said, we need some good news. The gospel. When we hear the word the gospel, I hadn't heard it put in quite the way they put it, but he said it's that kind of good news, the kind of news that war is over kind of news, the kind of good news that makes you just run up and hug a complete stranger because this is the best news in the world. Do we think about the word of God in that way? As a result of my actions, this can cause separation between me and God. And this happened in Hosea's day. The people have turned their back on God. There's nothing I can do to put this right. There's nothing they could do to put it right. What's God going to do about that in that situation? Maybe there's a price that needs to be paid and you could never afford to pay it back. This obviously is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news about him. He has come, and he's come to set us free. He has come to pay a price that we could never pay. Our reading this morning, Genesis 3:15, such an overlooked verse in the Bible. Genesis 3:15 says, and this is God talking to the snake, he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And then this little line in here, He will crush your heads and you will strike his heel. Now that is good news. That is amazing news. That's probably some of the best news in the Bible. But when you look at that, do you look at that and go, that is just the best news. War is over. I just want to go around and hug everybody. Look, look at the good news. Do you think that when you see it? But right here, right at the start, right where Adam and Eve have fallen, right when they've tripped up, they've been disobedient to God, God says, I love you, and I love you so very much, I am personally going to fix this. If you trust me for who I am, don't listen to the lie, trust me for who I am. The good news, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. It doesn't quite explain it in enough thing. You are going to be defeated, but in that process, somebody's going to die. What does it start sounding like now? It's Jesus. He will defeat the snake, but you will strike his heel. The snake will bite. It will kill. But in that moment, Satan will be defeated. And someone is going to pay for that with their life. And God says, I'm prepared to do that for each and every one of us. That is the good news. I pray that kind of news makes us get so excited. We just want to go and tell everybody, do you know what God has done for us? Right there, right at the beginning. Do people think we're mad? Has anybody been called mad? You're crazy for believing this? We had a very interesting discussion on Wednesday. What a load of rubbish. I've never heard so much rubbish in all my life. And yet, at the end, when we unpacked this and realized that what God had done for us individually, the good news came. And it was, I've changed my mind actually, what a great God we have. Adam and Eve exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and God wants us through our lives and living in a different way to demonstrate that good news to others. Maybe that's a positive cause and effect. But while they believe the lie or follow other religions, some try to achieve that godlike status themselves, worship the created things over and above the creator. The cause and effect model keeps going round and round again until we get back to that root problem. Each and every one of us has or had exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So what did God do about it? He brought us back. And there's a word this morning, redemption. It's a good word. It sounds like a Bible word. It's one of those you probably get in a quiz and says, what does it actually mean? It always talks about paying a price to secure a release. And I actually found a really nice chart. I don't know if you can see it very clearly on the screen. But it's a little bit about, oh no, you can't. Oh, maybe you can. You've got Hosea's situation on the left-hand side. Hosea with his wife Gomer. She's in the slave market. There's a slave master. She's enslaved. There's a problem. The highest bidder comes along. It's Hosea. There's a ransom price and he buys her back. He buys her back for quite a lot. That's the situation in Hosea. Does that not sound a lot like what the world has done for us or the world we live in? The model interpretation, we've got a world system. The slave master is Satan. Who are the slaves? It's all of humanity. What's the problem? Sin's the problem. Who's the highest bidder? Jesus Christ. What price did he pay? Paid with his own blood. What a beautiful picture we get in Hosea. And if you've got some references on the right-hand side, time won't allow us to go through all that this morning. But 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 at the end, I'll just pick the last one up. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as gold and silver that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's who paid the price for us this morning. We live with many effects of a broken world, and I think we can see that around us today. Broken lives. When we recognize this real cause for this, when we when we get back to the truth, the heart of the truth, and the buying back from that situation, the price we realize can only be paid by God himself. If we've broken that relationship with God, only God can fix that and sort that out. Only he alone can pay the price. Every other spiritual journey, and I genuinely mean this, I'm not belittling, but every other spiritual journey is going to lead you to another spiritual journey. It always does. Whichever one you start with, you'll go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And I'm not belittling them. Hey, go on that journey. Some of those things, they might be interesting, but you're going to carry on through a series of events and end up with painful effects from each and every one of those until you get back to what the root cause is, and that is a broken relationship with God. And with that broken relationship with God, he says, I am the only one that can put that right. That is why Jesus is so important. Some people say, well, that's not fair. If that's a God like that, I don't know a God like that. What do you mean a God like that? We've been disobedient. We've run away from him. And he says, I've made the way back for you, and I've paid for that with my life. And you're saying the rules aren't fair? What more can I do for you? Some want to become like God, knowing good and evil. Sounds a lot like the promise made to Adam and Eve. God made the way, and Jesus records those words for us. John 14, verse 6, a good one to put your finger in your Bible, put a marker in. John 14, verse 6, Jesus was saying these words. He says, I am the way, the and the, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's done it. He crushed the snake's head. His heel was bruised. He paid with his life. Jesus paid it all. A free gift, a restored relationship with God. And some of us don't know that. And that is what's on offer this morning. So if you're in a cause and effect loop this morning, ask God, what is the root cause? What is it that we need to put right? What is that causing that separation even now? Do you want that restored relationship with God? Do you want that restored relationship with God? Do you want it now?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.